We're about to look at the Bible passage now, and as it's the first Sunday we're gathered at the Harrier Building, we're taking a break from the Ephesians passage and we're looking at Psalm 84. So I'll read it and then I'll pray and then I'll preach. Let's hear God's word. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. That's God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us into worship. You call us and invite us and command us to fellowship with you, to seek your face, to receive your word, and to praise you in song. We thank you that we're doing that this Sunday for the first time in 18 months. We thank you that we can do it. We thank you that you will be there with us. And we pray that you'd bless everyone listening to this who couldn't make it, that they are part of the church, that we would hear your voice now through your word, and that we would be energized to worship you and to love you and to walk in holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. So your three points are: how lovely, true blessedness, true joy. How lovely, true blessedness, true joy. The first one, how lovely, is how this psalm opens. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. The people who wrote this are the sons of Korah, and we don't know who they were personally, but they write this psalm to express how lovely is God's dwelling place. And under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, God's dwelling place was in Jerusalem. It was the temple. And the temple was set out like this. There was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go once a year. And there was the Ark of the Covenant in there. Then there was the holy place, where there was a table of showbread, a table of incense, and a lampstand, what we call a menorah. Then go out again, there was the altar. And then go out again, and there's the courtyard where people gathered. And that was where Israel and non-Jewish people could go to. That's where they would fellowship and worship God. That's where they met with their God. They would hear the word read. They would hear it preached. They would hear it expounded by the priests. They would also see the sacrifices and the smoke of them go up. Those were signs of God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's peace, God's fellowship, the peace offering, communion with each other and with God. And they would pray. They would pray in song and in word. They would pray words of the Bible to God, and they would sing psalms to God as well. That's what God's dwelling place was under the Old Covenant, and the psalmist calls that lovely. Now, when we use the word lovely, we mean, you know, something very nice, like a lovely outfit or a lovely cake or a lovely countryside. But the word in the Bible means something far stronger, far more profound, far more emotional, actually. It means exquisite joy and delight. You know, exquisite, it's a funny word, isn't it? It's like real profound emotional and intellectual joy and fulfillment. And that's what they're saying. How lovely is your dwelling place, where we meet with you, where we hear you speak to us in the word, where we see your symbols of the covenant, and where we can praise you in song and pray to you, where we do it together, corporately, as a body. This is lovely. It's exquisite. It's delightful. It's joy. And it is delightful. O Lord of hosts, O Lord, that's God's covenant name. When you see Lord in capital letters, it's the personal name of God, and it's the name of God as a covenant God who reveals his will. Because that's the sign that all that was going on in the temple, the sacrifices, the word preached, circumcision would go on there as well. Jesus was circumcised in the temple in Luke chapter 2. It's the sign of God fulfilling his promises to Abraham and to Moses. That's where they see God, through the word and through the sacrifices. And look at verse 2. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. My soul longs, yes, faints. They couldn't wait to get to the temple to worship God. They couldn't wait. They were counting down the days or the hours to get to fellowship with God and with his people, to hear God's word, to see the signs of the covenant and to praise him. They couldn't wait. And look at that, it's faints. Have you ever felt faint when you're really hot and you just need a drink? If you've been abroad, say, you know, it's a proper Mediterranean summer. We're not used to it, us Brits. Oh, well, I'm not anyway. And you just feel faint. You just really need a drink. You need a cold shower to wake you up. And that's how they feel. They just couldn't wait to get to fellowship with God and with his people. That was the yearning they had. Now, in the New Covenant, the New Testament, we don't meet at Jerusalem. God's presence isn't tied to a particular place. And that's God's prerogative. That was God's sovereign decision in the Old Testament, and it's his sovereign decision in the New Testament to do it this way. The temple of God is the church. But there are visible expressions of the church. But some meet in buildings, some meet in fields, some meet in sports buildings. But there's the one thing we have in common with our Old Testament brothers and sisters is that they, like them, we hear God's word, we see the signs of God's sacrifice, which in the New Testament are baptism and the Lord's Supper, and we pray together. We pray in song and we pray in word. SVC, the Sports Village Church, does it on the Lee Sports Village in the Harrier building. And we haven't been able to do it for 18 months. How have you felt about that? Have you felt the psalmist's longing to be with God? Does the public worship of the saints, when done according to scripture, does it bring you joy and delight? Does it give you satisfaction? Does it bring you your highest joy? There are tons of psalms, actually, that talk about this. Psalm 27 is one. One thing that I have asked of, that which I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and that I may meditate in his holy temple. Psalm 63 is another one. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Even stronger than this psalm, that David, who wrote Psalm 63, was like a man in the desert. He just, like a person in the desert who just craves water, David was craving the worship of God. Because in the temple, as he says, behold, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because when you see God, as he's revealed himself in his word, for David in the sacrifices, for us in baptism and the Lord's Supper, and when we get to sing his praises, you're seeing and beholding God in his power and in his glory. That's what we do in the Harrier Building in Lee. Is that your highest joy and your greatest delight? That's the full, and we have the fullness of the revelation now. So we see all that God is, all that God is, God who is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. How he's one God in three persons, and how the second person of the Trinity became a man to become our perfect mediator, redeemer, rescuer, saviour, friend and advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see more than the psalmists did. We see the fullness of God's will revealed in the Bible. We should be more zealous for worship than they were. Is that you? Is that your heart's desire? Yes, if you couldn't make it today, that's fine. If your health, that's fine. But is it your desire? Do you long to worship God like that? And as well to see all the glory of the gospel of Christ fully revealed in the Old and the New Testament. We see more now. You know, these psalms, this is not the language of a believer who's looking at their watch, ready to go as soon as the service ends, so that they can get back to doing what they really do. This isn't the language of a believer who sees God's day. In the Old Testament, it was Saturday. Excuse me, the Sabbath. In the New Testament, it's the Lord's Day, what we call Sunday. They didn't see that day as a bore, as a day for themselves, and then a day to fit church in and get it over with so we can get back to doing the things we really love. No, they saw it as the high point of their day, of their week, and they longed for it. Is that how you feel about the worship of God? It was Jesus' greatest passion. It still is Jesus' greatest passion to be with his people. He's with us now by the Holy Spirit. Is it yours? And the psalmist says, even the sparrow find a home. The birds in the temple who would have flown over, they find a home in God's temple. And then he says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. And that brings us neatly to point two, true blessedness. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. And verse 12 said, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessedness. It's actually the word blessed opens up the book of Psalms. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. It's the first word of the book of Psalms, and it means true happiness and true joy. We've talked about that already, haven't we? And the true joy that the psalmist is talking about is dwelling in God's house, praising him, getting your strength from God, and from trusting in him. We've talked about, just a minute ago, about God's covenant name. We trust in God when we trust what God has revealed about himself in his word. We trust God when we believe the promises that he promises in his word. We trust God when we submit to his will as he's revealed it in his word. All of our life is to be conformed to scripture. All of our life is to be characterized by a trust and obedience to God. Trust and obey, as was our motto a few years ago. That's what it is, to trust and obey, to trust God. And that's true blessedness, to give our mind, our heart and our wills to what God has revealed in his word. Which is what we, as we've said, which is what we see in word, in sacrament, and in prayer, when we gather together. Indeed, that's the ultimate joy, that we behold the face of God through the word when we gather. So we also, as I say, we get our strength from God. Our strength is in God. I mentioned about the soul fainting. If you've ever felt faint, you probably needed to sit down. And the water that you drank in, you know, to stick with the analogy, if we're in a hot country, you feel faint, the water gives you strength and refreshment. So in the hardness of life, when you feel faint, the psalmist is saying, when you feel faint in that sense, it's the worship of God that gives you strength. Yes, life is very hard. Past 18 months have been very hard. It's still going to be very hard. And especially, we remember at this time of the year, it's 20 years since 9/11 in the United States. Sometimes we ask, why did all this happen? And God hasn't revealed that in his word. He's revealed some of the causes, the fall, human sin. But we don't know God's providence. But that doesn't let us off the hook. We trust God. And in trusting God, we find our strength to face the day, as one of the worship songs say. In this hardship, in these dark times, we're still, both of those awful events, COVID and 9/11, we're still reeling from them now. It's this terrible, terrible times that make us feel, what is going on? And the psalmist says, finding strength to face these dark times comes from trusting in God, and whose heart is in the highways to Zion, people who can't wait to worship God in Jerusalem. And indeed, our hearts should be in the heavenly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that's above, as Galatians 4 and Hebrews 12 says. That's where our hearts should be. And we will dwell in God's house forever, ever singing his praise in heaven. The visible manifestation of that on earth now is in church. It's a taste of heaven, what we do in church. And when we do it, we get strength. We sing God's praise, so we get blessed. And we learn to trust God more and more. And that's what it is. That's what true blessedness is. That's what the psalmist would have found out. That's what Jesus would have found out while he was on the earth. He would have got his strength through worshipping God. He was completely dependent upon God, the Father. Every moment of his life he submitted to him perfectly. He trusted God's word perfectly. He submitted to God's will in the word perfectly. And his heart would have been full of praise. And God would have been his strength. He strengthened him in his temptation. He strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He strengthened him to do what he had to do. And God came through for him. And we are in Christ today. So God will come through for us. God will be faithful to his promises. He will remember his covenant forever, which is sealed in the blood of Christ from before the foundation of the world. That is true blessedness. And that's what the psalmist says comes with worshipping God. And the third point now. true joy. True joy. As I've said, the dark days can make us want to forget God or turn away from him. But the psalmist here in verse 10 gives a comparison of the joy that the world has to offer and of the joy that God offers us. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Yes, the world offers us many things, but God offers us a lot more. God offers us himself. And he is the greatest gift of all. John Piper has a book called God is the Gospel. God is the Gospel. Because the greatest gift of God is himself. All that God is and all that God has said are ours through Jesus Christ and our union with him. And look at how the sons of Korah say, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Being the doorkeeper, standing at the edge of the temple at the door, just watching people come in and out, is better than being out of the temple or dwelling in the tents of wickedness. Yes, the world, the tents of wickedness, will offer you many things, but it won't complete you. It won't fulfill you the way God will. God is the one for whom we were created. The chief purpose of God, of what is the chief end of man, or what is the main purpose of humanity? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's what we were created for. That's why we have the desire for fulfillment, for completeness. Only God can give us that. And ultimately, only God fulfills it. And that's why they say, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Imagine having this passion for worship and then having to spend 1,000 days not gathering. They'd be miserable. That's how much they value and delight in the worship of God. Not just because of what it gives to them, but because of who they get to spend the time with. Verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The sun, it's beautiful. It gives lightness, it gives warmth. We couldn't live without it. When it's gone, it goes dark and cold. But in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. There's warmth and there's light forever and ever and ever. His radiant love, his bright glory, his exalted majesty, his moral purity. All that God is, he's a sun and a shield. He gives us, he's our king. He gives us protection. He gives us peace. He gives us his kindness. He won't let our foot fall. He will give us victory over temptation. He'll give us triumph over the world. He'll give us himself. And that's the ultimate security. And that's why blessed is the one who trusts in you, because of who God is. And he bestows favour and honour. Think how gracious God is. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. We don't even deserve the slightest blessing from God, but he gives more than that. He gives us favour and honour. And even then, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God promises a blessing to those who obey him. You know, if you keep the speed limit on the road, do you get a blessing? No, you just get the threat of being punished if you break it. But God's not like that. He gives abundant blessing to those who walk uprightly, to those who walk according to his will. And who can go in good conscience, having confessed their sins, to the place where they gather. That's true joy. And one day in the presence of God with your brothers and sisters, the psalmist says, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Is that your feeling, how you feel? Is that the desire of your heart? Think on these things. So how are we going to apply all this to our lives? Well, I don't know if there's going to be another lockdown. But we have to take this opportunity now. So what are you going to do about your heart? If your heart is not stirred up to worship God, if you really are indifferent to it, if you've grown cold and hard, well, the first thing to do is repent and come to Christ, even if you are a Christian, because we need to get ourselves right. You know, he says, there's the idea that they're going to worship God, so they have to be walking uprightly. They have to be prepared. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it starts and ends with Jesus Christ. The entire Christian walk starts and ends with him. He delighted in worshipping God. He delighted in it. So come to him this very day, or come back to him and submit to him. Believe in him and trust him. And the second thing, suppose you are coming back. I taught this little 5-point thing, mnemonic, I think it's called, in 2018 as we were looking at Luke's Gospel, where we looked at Jesus in the temple. 5 P's. Prepare, participate, ponder, practice, pray. Prepare. Prepare for the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. Prepare yourself. This is a very, very solemn and serious and joyful thing that we're doing. Prepare yourself. Prepare to give and to receive. So be, Jeremy Walker in his book on the Lord's Day says, the best preparation for the Lord's Day is a consistent walk with the Lord through the week. It's a consistent walk with the Lord through the week. So what we do in church, do it privately, morning and evening, and with your family. As little or as much as you can. Hear God, read God's word, pray, and sing. If you need help, come and ask me, we'll help you. But prepare. And on Saturday night, you don't have to do it all night, of course, but on Saturday night, be thinking about what you're about to do. Think about who God is. Think about what it is to come to worship him. Say, think about the week past, how you've lived. Say sorry to God for the things you've done wrong. And say sorry to people before you come to church, or if you before the service starts. So prepare. And long for the Lord's Day. You know, it's the highlight of our week. It's the best day of the week because we get to worship God with our church family. Prepare. Participate. When you come to church, participate. Don't just be a spectator. You're part of the service. So listen to what's being said. Listen to the prayers. Sing the songs. Even if you can't sing, listen to the sermon. Get your heart right. And one thing I didn't mention, but part of preparation is read the passage. Read the passage. Get into it. Look at some stuff online called commentaries and start to wrestle with the passage. But when you're there, so you come prepared and you can engage better because you know what's going to be talked about. And even introverts, talk to people. Get to know each other. Participate. Third P, ponder or meditate. Think about what you've heard at church. Get the sermon notes. Use Simone's prayer points. To take the sermon and the service with you into the week and think about it and ask yourself and pray over it and say, how can I put this into my life? You know, delight in these things. Sinclair Ferguson said in a sermon, do you ever go to bed sad on Sunday night that Sunday's over? You know, Sinclair Ferguson belongs to a church that the Puritans founded, and the Puritans, I think they went too far, but they dedicated the whole of Sunday to worship. And they were sad when it was over, because it was a taste of heaven. So ponder, think about what you've saw, take it with you into the week. And fourth P, practice. Put it into practice. Say, what should I believe and what should I do in light of what I've learned? And the fifth P is pray. And that goes through all the other four P's. Go right through it all with prayer. Just prayer is just talking to God. Praise God for what you've learned. Say sorry for the sins that you've learned about, that you've committed, and ask God to help you put it into practice. So do that. Get ready. Get participating and get practicing. Because we don't know when this will happen again. Take delight in the public worship of the saints. Because it's all, ultimately, the public worship of the saints is not about you. It's about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, whom we worship and whom we delight in. Glory to his name, forever and ever.